Welcome to my Blog Talk Radio show, Live Your Music. I'm Margot Joydy Nader, and I'm a creative life balance coach, singer, songwriter, and the author of The Art of Living a Life You Love. I'm happy to have Julie Cohn as my guest for Live Your Music today. Join us for a conversation about living your music as a watercolor artist, teacher, and gallery owner. Welcome, Julie.
Thank you for having me, Margot.
Oh, you're welcome. I am so happy to have you on the show. I absolutely love watercolor art and watercolors and artists and art and all of the things that you represent. And I just have to say, too, though, that it was so interesting that how I met you was through West Coast Songwriters and that you also were a singer-songwriter. So, you know, it's really cool that you do both kinds of creativity. I love that.
Oh, thank you. That's great to share with you. What you do, too.
Yeah, I know. I'm somebody definitely who loves both art and music and photography and all of the different arts and creativity of all kinds. And anyway, today we're going to be focusing on your watercolors, though. So to start out with, how did you begin in your art? Tell us about your art beginnings.
Sure. Well, I am one of three children, and when my brother and sister were out of the house, I'm the youngest, my mom took out her paints, and I had no idea she was an artist. I was around 9-10 years old, and basically she painted in many media, including watercolor, and I ended up taking lessons after school, you know, at a very young age. And I also went with her to studios where I drew from live models with her. And she had an amazing knack for really connecting with the emotions of the person she was painting. So she, you know, really brought life into her artwork, into her portraits. And I strive for that and have learned much from looking at her work. She died many years ago, over 30 at this point.
Wow,
but I still
over 30 years ago?
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, it was very sad, but she still is within me for sure. Or, you know, I'm with her as much as I can feel her in my work.
Oh. Yeah, I know. My mom's been an angel. I call her an angel in the sun since 2006.
That's beautiful.
And, you know, the thing is I'm sure as you found, too, that when you're in your present moments and feeling joy and appreciation, you can feel them with you.
Yeah,
you know, especially
completely.
When you're doing things like, yeah, especially when you're doing something like your art that was a connection with you, with her. And, yeah.
Completely.
Wow.
Yeah, definitely. It's a very strong influence still. Yeah.
Mm. That's wonderful. I remember growing up, I used to go visit my grandmother, and she wanted me to be an artist. And she had an art studio in her home, and she used to lure me in there with the paints, the colors. I just loved the colors, all the colors of the oil paints and the brushes. And she would squish the paints around and use a palette knife. And it looked so beautiful when she would do it. But I remember trying to paint a painting like that with her one summer, and I thought, oh, my gosh, this is just not as easy to do as I thought it would be.
Yeah, we learned this. You know?
Yeah, and then she also, like you said about drawing the figure drawing, she took me with her to a figure drawing class, and I remember doing that, and then she also had me try some watercolors, and so I know firsthand how hard it is to do watercolors, and what you do with them just, you know, is amazing. So,
thank you.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit more about how did you develop in art, and who were your influences besides your mom? Were there other influences besides your mom?
Oh, definitely. I was very lucky to learn from instructors at UC Berkeley, Elmer Bischoff and Joan Brown, who were part of the figurative movement during the time when abstract expressionism was in vogue, but they kind of turned to the figure. And they were really great teachers. And then I went to the College of Arts and Crafts, which is now called the College of the Arts in Oakland. Mary Snowden, a great watercolor teacher, turned me on to watercolor, and I thought, okay, that's it. That's my medium. I was like, I had worked in oil, pastel, acrylic, and I found watercolor at that college, and I realized whatever it is about that medium, I had a knack for it. And, of course, it doesn't mean that I knew how to do everything. It took me many, many years to develop things, and I, you know, work in all the different subjects that one can work in, mm-hmm. in a medium, you know, from portraits to still life, abstraction, landscape, et cetera. And, you know, and basically I've been teaching for 30 years. So as I teach, I'm always giving new topics. So I'm learning new things. And I basically have been very influenced by artists such as Alex Powers, Judy Betts, Dawn Andrews, who are contemporary artists, mm-hmm. As well as the masters, you know, such as Paul Cezanne, John Singer Sargent, Helen Frankenthaler, Andrew Wyeth. And they're just among a few of the people who have just, through the years, given me so much by just giving me their work to view, because I can analyze them and understand a lot about how they're approaching the medium of watercolor.
So your background in art history influenced your art and your teaching a lot, right?
Completely, because, you know, I wouldn't have known to look up all these people and learn about them. And then, of course, every time you learn about somebody new, then they know somebody else who was a painter, and then you learn about them. You know? So it, the list keeps growing in terms of modern artists. In terms of contemporary artists, you know, we have so much here in the way of resources in the Bay Area to learn mm-hmm. about those people who are doing something that we love. And I took watercolor lessons for many, many years after college, workshops, all around the nation. I would go various places to take 4 and 5 day workshops and learn from really amazing people. And then I decided at one point to really, you know, focus and not take as many classes, at least in the traditional watercolor. Mm-hmm. Now I've taken some calligraphy classes, Chinese calligraphy, which is helping the way I use my brush with watercolor painting. So, you know, I've been really learning from all kinds of paths and people.
Mm. Yeah, that kind of art with the brushes is so beautiful. I love
yeah.
that.
What, yeah, the Asian so styles different... are really amazing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's so many of them that are just so beautiful. In fact, it kind of reminds me of the art on the cover of Julia Cameron's book, The Artist's Way. You know,
oh, yes.
I love that.
Yes,
yeah.
you know the way they use the brush, the mm-hmm. the way they dip the brush, the way a character, a Chinese character, even though I don't do them a lot now, but what I learned is that one character and one part of a character can have 7 strokes within it.
Wow.
Miniature strokes.
That's really interesting, because then when you look at it, you're going to be going, wow, how many strokes did they take to make that?
It takes a lot of finesse to turn the hand and the fingers to work with the characters. And believe me, that is an area I am definitely a beginner in. But I feel like what I learned in those particular classes mm-hmm. were really, it was extremely helpful for having finesse, more finesse with the brush in general painting.
That makes a lot of sense. And then also kind of doing something like that that's so totally different keeps you in beginner's mind where
that's
fresh
for sure.
And you're not, yeah, and you're not going, oh, I already know how to do this, you know, and not taking it for granted. So, yeah, it definitely would keep you really learning and growing, and that's so important. Now, where do you do your teaching? I think that is something our listeners would like to know.
Sure. I teach most of my classes at my own studio and gallery, which is in Berkeley.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very close to the freeway, very close to University and Ashby exit. So it's very easy to get to in the Bay Area. And then I teach at the College of Marin. I've been there for over 20 years in community education. I don't teach for grades, which I love. I teach people who just want to learn and want to grow. And, you know, and then I also have taught many workshops. And lately I've been teaching them in Sonoma, in Redding, California. I've taught in France before a couple times. I do know the French language enough to get by in France. And I also love to sing in it.
But,
you know, French is fun. But, you know, so going to France and teaching in Aix-en-Provence, which was a beautiful trip, teaching about Cézanne and watercolor. And so, yeah, I've taught a few places, but the studio in Berkeley is my mainstay. You know, that's where I do most of my teaching.
Well, I loved all those different places, and then right in smack in is Redding, California. Is that what you're talking about, Redding, California, right?
Yeah, because my sister lives near there, so I stay with her.
Well,
and then
I grew
go up,
up
there
in,
and I teach.
I grew up in Shasta County. You know, we moved up there when I was 5 and a half from Atherton.
That's such a beautiful area.
I love to go up there. Shasta County is one of my favorite places to visit, and my sister and my two brothers still both live, well, all three of them live up there, and my sister loves to do art also, but she usually uses acrylics. She's not, she doesn't usually do watercolors, but she loves art too. And
great.
Yeah.
I think it runs in our families because my siblings love art and music as well.
Well, you know, I think when you're exposed to creativity and you're exposed to art and music, I think it helps you have an appreciation for it, don't you think?
I totally agree. And then, of course, it's in your bones, too. You know, some people, they just gravitate toward it, like it's just in there, you know? Yeah.
But I think, you know, that's one of the things that I'm hoping people will do with this show is start realizing that we all have creativity in us and we all have music in us, things that we feel called to do, and that's what gives us joy. So, you know, it reminds me that, you know, I think, let me just go ahead and do the questions that I usually do toward the end of the show now so that we can all be thinking about it. Everyone listening, I want you to think about the answers to these questions. What music do you hear calling you? What do you feel inspired to do? What gives you joy? Are you willing to show up for your heart's desires and dreams and let yourself live your music? I hope each of you listening will do your best to love yourself, love the people and animals in your life, live your music, and enjoy your time on this beautiful planet we call Earth. And, you know, doing what you're doing, Julie, is definitely living your music in this beautiful way of with the watercolors and helping other people to live their music in doing the watercolors as well. I think that is so fantastic.
Well, it's just absolutely amazing to watch my students and their joy. It's just, it's so special. You know, when they have their ahas. And, you know, watercolor is a much more forgiving medium than most think. And what I have done is I've helped people to understand watercolor from the inside out so that when they do it, they have control and they have freedom at the same time.
Control and freedom. I like that.
Yeah.
But I can't really picture how it works. So,
because it is a method that I developed. It's of how to work with the three areas of wetness.
Oh.
Yeah, because, you know, the brush itself has a certain wetness, the paper's a certain wetness, and the mixtures on that you make of paint and water on the palette have a wetness to them, a certain thickness. So all of those factors, if we understand them from the kind of method I teach, then, you know, people can actually know what paper to use to get this method, and they can actually say, I know what result I'm going to get within a margin, of course. You know, I mean, watercolor moves.
Yeah,
so,
I noticed
so, you know,
that
we,
when
we
I
can't
tried
know
it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We can know a lot about what it's going to do and enjoy that dance with it.
Ooh, yeah, a dance. That, you know, it's funny because watercolor does kind of almost look like a dance. A dance is across the paper.
Yeah.
And Yeah, instead of
if
being
it's
like
used in the way that it's fully being realized, meaning watercolor can be used very opaquely as well, and that's great. And in fact, I really love paintings that have a combination of the flowing watercolor and the opacity, the real opaque stuff, you know, that you can't see through and that's thicker. Because I believe that watercolor has much more to it than some believe. It's not just a sweet, cute medium. It is amazing in terms of its depth.
Wow. So what inspires you most about your art right now?
What inspires me? Sorry about that phone there. I'm going to move to the other room here.
That's the problem with live radio. Yeah.
what inspires me now is working with a variety of textures and large works, and basically, no matter what the subject I'm working on, there's always an element of nature in my work, whether it's portraits. It doesn't really matter. The nature comes in a lot of imagination. Whether I'm looking at a photograph or still life or something, or I have a memory of something, my imagination comes into the play with the watercolor. And so my work tends to be a little more toward abstraction, if not completely abstract. And yet, at times, I really want to do a floral painting, but it's so much more about the imagination than making the flower exactly what it is. And what that does, it helps me and students, actually, to just let go a little more, because sometimes we're told that we're supposed to make things look like to be a good artist, and it is so not what it's about.
Well, you know, I remember my grandmother feeling insulted if somebody said that her paintings looked too much like a picture, you know, a photograph, in other words. Because, you know, and the thing is that's true because, you know, you can always take a picture if you want to have it look like a picture. But to have it look like a painting, it needs to have some sort of expression and uniqueness that makes it different than the actual photograph, I guess.
Right. Well, it often naturally does because of the type of medium that's being used. But I will say it's amazing to me. I have students who go the full spectrum of total realistic almost. You still see the watercolor, you know, movement, but it's amazing how uncannily real they'll go. From students who just love the abstract and then everywhere in between. And for me, I'm not toward the absolute realism, you know, but what I like to get is the mood of something. I want to create a mood and a feeling like we're there, or it brings up a memory for myself, or a hope for something in the future. You know, that's what I like to focus on. And then it, you know, it's either something recognizable or not.
Well, you know, now that you mention that, the slides that I have in the slideshow that people can watch when they're listening online on their phone or on their computer or on their tablet, they can listen to the replay of this, or they can be listening live, and they can see those pictures that I've put in the slideshow that are paintings of yours. And you're right, you've got the flowers, you've got the, but it has more of a mood to it than just being just about representing the flowers, and then the other ones had moods to them too, and the colors.
They're not done completely from the thing I'm looking at. They're done from a place inside as much as the whatever. See, because I use things in front of me as just a little, like diving point. I might look at it and then I'll just not even look at it for the rest of the painting. Yeah,
I love that. So it's like a inspiration, and then you let your imagination and your creativity do the rest.
But the thing is, most people are scared of doing that unless they know concepts. So, for instance, if I know the concept of how to make something look round, I don't have to look at the round orange the whole time. So what I try to teach is that idea, and it's great that I can use that for myself too, because it means I'm not always relying on the thing in front of me. I already know what happens when you make something look round, you know?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You know, we've only got about 9 minutes left. It's amazing how fast these shows go. And I'm also curious, it says you also have products. So
right.
Tell us about your products for learning about color and watercolor, and where can we purchase them? So
sure.
What are those? Tell us a little bit about those.
I have produced 2 DVDs, and they can be streamed. You know, you can download them or buy the actual copy of the DVD.
Mm-hmm.
And one is called The Dance of Watercolor, Beginners and Beyond.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one is The Dance of Watercolor, Luminosity, Luster, Iridescence. The first one really is about basics in watercolor and my specific method that I teach. And, you know, I have a really fun painting to work with that's very beautiful and bright and, you know, not absolutely realistic, you know, more representational of a forest scene. And then I have color theory applied to that painting and drawing, how do you draw. And, you know, it's a very beginner's type DVD that's about 8 lessons worth of, it's a lot of material.
So how much time does it cover? How long does it take to watch it?
It's a 60-minute, approximately. But people comb over it and over it and over it. You know, you could really just keep watching each chapter.
True, but I just didn't. I just wasn't sure if it was like 6 hours or.
Oh no,
60 minutes. So,
yeah, but people tend to
watch,
you know,
over
go
again.
Over the lessons and paint with it.
Right.
And then the second DVD is about how the natural lighting effects, iridescence, luster, and luminosity are they're just natural in our world.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we create them with natural paint color?
Mm,
so how do we get those natural effects without using an iridescent paint, you know? and it's in everything that we look at. So it creates great moods in paintings. And I have 3 paintings people work with on that one. That's for advanced beginners and beyond. And in fact, that DVD is for people who do all media, not just watercolor.
Okay.
Because it's really about color and working with light. And it can be very helpful for any medium at all that uses those things. And then
I didn't realize you weren't finished. Okay, so go ahead.
Oh, just one more quickie thing. The last product is one that goes with both DVDs, and it can also be sold on its own. And it's called Easy Steps to Great Color. And it is 4 of my developed color wheels, 3 on the luminosity, luster, iridescence, and 1 is a basic wheel, like a comprehensive wheel. And I help people with a little booklet how to work with color in their lives. It's not just for watercolorists, but it's mostly for painters. You could just use it to understand color in anything that you do.
Well, color adds so much joy to life, I believe. And, you know, even though I decided I didn't want to become an artist painting paintings back when my grandmother wanted me to do it, I love color, and I love having color all around me and my clothes and my home. And
me too.
You know, so, I mean, you're right. I mean, it could be for anything. It could be anything that you want to use color for. And
completely.
For graphic design. And
I know, for flower
like
arranging.
That too. Yeah,
you know,
flower arranging, there you go.
On my website, at this point, I will be changing a website eventually, and I hope to have this on the next one, but at least right now, you can go to a part of the website and see a whole bunch of examples of how a color scheme that you choose can be used in a painting or in a flower arrangement or in an interior, and I actually explain how that works.
Now, is that on your fine art website or in the art instruction one?
It's in the art instruction one.
So that's the Julie Cohn artinstruction.com.
Right.
And then you also have juliecohnfineart.com. And I
which
have
is more
a
gallery
of
my thematic works.
Mm-hmm.
Like my works in series.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I have both links in the show information, so
great.
So people don't have to figure out how to spell it right now because it's in the link.
That's helpful.
So, excuse me.
That's great.
Sounds
Are
wonderful,
okay?
though. It does sound really wonderful. It's got me curious to start taking some more art classes someday.
Oh, that's great.
There are so many things to learn and enjoy in this world. It's just
so
amazing.
We only had the time for it all.
I know. It's so true. Now, speaking of that, okay, gets back into the fact that we only have 4 minutes left, but you do music as well. You're a singer-songwriter as well. And so how does your music affect your art, and how does your art affect your music?
Well, I would just say that in both areas, I feel like, well, for instance, in watercolor, when I'm painting, and I was saying that I'm dancing in a way, it's almost like I have an internal instrument, like that's moving with the watercolor, and I feel like there's music in me as I'm painting, and and I put on music a lot of times when I paint, but I also, you know, feel rhythm. I think rhythm is a very big part of my watercolor work, and pattern. And I also think that in singing, there's pattern, you know, like when I sing in scat singing for jazz, I can sing about a song that has to do with water and the ocean and the waves, and I can be thinking or feeling, you know, like the color and the movement, like watercolor of the waves, and be scatting and kind of, you know, considering the visual of that while I'm making sounds. And it helps the sounds become more interesting.
I love that. I never would have thought of that. And
it's fascinating how they really do dovetail into each other.
Right, though. When I'm singing, the parts of the song where I'm really able to picture it more and visualize it more, it's easier to sing it well. So, yeah, that really makes a lot of sense. You know, we only have 2 minutes left. So what's something really brief that you'd like to leave people with?
Well, I definitely want to give you this quote by Lao Tzu, which is that we may think that the outer world is important, but it's the world within us that we need to go into, that we don't have to see the whole world. The world's there, right inside us, to be, you know, of creativity. And just that people, you know, I think we all have that creativity within us, even in the smallest of things that we do. If we could trust our intuition to say, hey, somebody's told me to do something a certain way, but what if I change one thing about it?
I love that. What if? And I wonder. Those two words, those two phrases both help you get in touch with your intuition. Julie, thank you so much for being on the show today. I'm really happy
certainly.
That...
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm so happy that we met you.
May I just add one tiny little thing? Tiny little thing about emails?
Okay, we've only got a minute left, so...
I know. I just love it if people want to get in touch, that they email me, and I'll let them know about my upcoming shows and talks and various things like that.
Okay, and that's contact@juliecohnarts.com. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the show, and thank you for living your music and both music and art, and for helping people realize that we're all creative. That's so important.
Wonderful talking with you, Margot. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Bye for now, everyone. Make sure you do something to live your music this week. Talk to you later. Bye.